Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, and it's Friday again. Welcome back to Glass of Wine, where we drink many glasses of wine and we complain about everything and anything. I am one of your hosts. I am Juno Schwartz, and to my left,
Andy Schossler.
And to my right,
I'm Zane C. Weber, and I know how to say my name.
Sometimes it's hard.
Just and gotta approach it confidently.
And straight in front of me, we have a very special guest.
A super special guest.
Who I've never met before. What's your name, sir?
It could be Glenn Schwartz.
Oh, are you my father?
He did look familiar.
Are you claiming to have never met your father before this very moment, Gina?
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it's for the show. We love banter here. We love the banter.
I want money. Back.
Unfortunately, we don't offer that service here, sir. So tell us, what do you do with yourself? Where are you from?
I'm from Cairns and I'm visiting you in Brisbane.
Lovely. I must be a very lovely person for you to visit.
Well, you are my favourite youngest daughter, so yes.
I feel like Gina's got you here just so she can put you on the spot and ask all the questions that she's otherwise too uncomfortable to ask and afraid that you might not give a truthful answer.
You're on record.
Does this follow on from previous podcasts?
Maybe. And tonight we are drinking a Chardonnay and it is pronounced
Ingringa.
Ingringa. I'm just going to pronounce it wrong again. Okay.
Confidence, Gina.
It's
confidence.
It's there. And it's from Adelaide Hills in our South Australia.
And it is a Chardonnay. We're drinking a white tonight.
Yeah, which is a little spicy. And it's a vintage of 2017, 2 years old. What do we think? Have we had a little smelly
it's
smell?
It's very sharp on the nose.
It doesn't smell like a Chardonnay.
Well, no, I don't think it does.
And of course, it's courtesy of our friends at the Wine Gallery.
Wine Gallery. So our sponsors, of course, if you haven't been listening, what is wrong with you? But also welcome. We welcome everyone. Winegallery.com.au is a lovely wine subscription service that delivers straight to your door. Usually 3 bottles of wine a month. But if you're a sane person, you will add that 4th bottle of wine and shipping is free, my friends. Also, go on to thewinegallery.com.au, do their palate quiz. They'll ask you some zany questions and they will recommend wines that hopefully suit your palate and, of course, send them to you. But if you want the first round of wine to be a little bit cheaper, then just pop in our code glassofwine with an H at the checkout and you will get $25 off your first order, which is amazing.
And so I will say, you are not bound to order every month and you're not bound to order the wines that they recommend to you. If you see a wine in their range that you want in your first delivery or second delivery, you can just say, I would like this to replace one of the recommended wines, please.
And they will do it. And also I know that Zane has said a lot, if you get a wine and you don't particularly like it, you can send in your...
Yeah, they ask for ratings so that they can get to know your palate a bit better. Also get to know what wines are popular and not.
Yeah.
And so there was one particular wine that I personally didn't like and I gave it a 1-star. And they sent me an email going, you marked this wine 1-star. Can we ask why, what in particular didn't like about it? And then they gave me a free bottle of wine.
Which is for very my trouble. Lovely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That we've had nothing but very good interactions with thewinegallery.com.au.
Good customer service. That's what we like to hear. And amazing wine.
Mm-hmm.
May anyway, I say? Oh, sorry.
Back to the wine. Glenn, what do you think?
May I say that when you were a young child, we actually subscribed to a similar type of wine
service.
However, there was no surveys or palate tasting, and it was just sheer luck whether you got a good wine or a bad one.
Yeah.
And there was no ifs, buts or maybes. It was like, thanks a lot for coming. Give us
this
some
is your wines today.
And that's what you'll get.
Did they send them to your door?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They were delivered. But they weren't cheap.
Oh, well.
So
these ones are pretty good. Every single bottle is $23.
Yeah, they have a static price point.
From the wine gallery, yeah.
Yeah, so it's good.
Yeah. Foreign or not, whether it's from Australia.
That's what I'm saying. I think the wine gallery sounds much preferable to the one we used to subscribe to.
Yeah. Back in the day, though.
In the day.
Well, this Chardonnay that isn't a Chardonnay, but is a Chardonnay.
It
doesn't smell and doesn't taste like any other Chardonnay that I've ever had.
It's tangy, but in a different type of way.
It kind of tastes dry, but it isn't dry.
No. It's a... It's
very confusing.
Yeah, it's...
It's fruity, that's for sure. It's very refreshing.
I mean, it smells sharper than it is in your mouth. I think drinking it is less shocking than it is when you first smell it.
It's an enigma. That's the word I was looking for.
A conundrum.
In my head, I was thinking an enema.
Oh, yeah, very different things.
I was like, that's not it. I'm so close.
Some wines could be used for enemas.
I think you definitely want to be eating something with this because it is a little bit heavy.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can feel it on the tongue. It's kind of sitting there.
Yes.
In between mouthfuls.
I'm trying to work out what that taste is though. It's like an aniseedy or liquishy taste or something. I don't know.
I can't taste the aniseed, but there is a lingering taste that I can't pick either.
Mm.
Now, while we're talking about food. Do you want to play the game?
The game.
Now, Glenn, do you know what the game is?
Well, it's funny as you say that, Gina. I listen to your podcast. I do know how the game plays.
Okay, great. So we won't start with you, just to – since you're a guest, we'll be nice. All right, Andy.
Thank you.
you're under the microscope.
What did I do to incur your wrath? No,
you're just confident and you're there. You can take what I'm putting out.
And I will fight back.
Okay.
With equal measure. I think I want to have some cheese with this.
Cheese, yeah.
Something with a little bit of, I don't know, meat and cream to it. Something that's going to soak it up a little bit.
Mm.
Or turkey, funnily enough. I really want some turkey with this.
Okay.
I'm thinking like Chinese food, so like really maybe a little bit of spice, but something with lots of vegetables in it, but also very light-ish to eat, yeah.
Okay, and Glenjamin.
I am struggling.
Cheese is a really easy answer for this one. Like, you can imagine drinking this after you've eaten some cheese.
What do you like to eat a lot?
Well, I was thinking of a nice red steak.
Close. Mm? So, okay.
Feel like Gina's trying to cheat.
No.
with roast pumpkin.
With roast pumpkin. Ooh. I like that suggestion.
Does it go with roast vegetables? Yeah.
You're all dancing around it. But so far on this beautiful list, we have sort of grilled chicken salads, sort of summery foods. So pork dishes with rich sauces or even a summer vegetable risotto, something like that, you know.
I mean, for me, isn't a salad wine because a salad is a bit too light for this.
Yes, I think so. Like grilled fish or ravioli with squash. Mushrooms or other veggies. So there you go. Squash is close to pumpkin, you know.
Thanks for looking after me.
I'm just trying to find. Oh, here we go. So we have yellow peach pear. This is what is kind of in the wine. Toasted grains and nuts.
Okay, that might be what's in the back of my throat.
Yeah, as well as a delicate milky note on the mid palate. Do we taste that? Milky note? I don't know whether I taste that.
Nothing milky.
No.
I don't know about milk, but there's a
milky.
There's something there that has a little bit of body to it.
Yeah. And the oak is very subtle. I can taste oak, I think. Yeah.
Well, where are we drinking this?
I don't know. I was too busy waiting for your answers.
Well, do you want to point accusatorily at Andy to get him to go first?
Andy!
Oh, again.
It's
it's not you, Glenn, so.
Apparently thank you once again. It's warming, so I think it has to be cold to enjoy this.
Yeah.
And I think some sort of celebratory bonfire or something might be a nice occasion. Yeah.
You know,
nice.
Like if you're in a cult and you're having like a half yearly celebration of the solstice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a really
right.
big fire.
Clearing out the gravestones, the makeshift gravestones from the previous year's proceedings.
Naysayers.
Yeah, that's right. Burning them to get rid of all the evidence. Absolutely. Nice. As well as any clothes that happen to get in the
lie
way.
Lie around. Yeah.
And you're just, getting this roaring fire going. You want to have something to, slip the poison in so it's not
so
obvious, what you're doing.
Not detectable.
No, really, I'd very much like to have this outside in the cold.
Okay.
Yeah, at night.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Zane?
This one's a strange one. Mm. I think this would be, again, maybe a celebratory one, like if it is kind of like having like an office party or like an office celebration, something that isn't too serious but is a step above just kind of like a casual get together.
Yep.
Yeah. So if there's kind of like the end of a project that went particularly well, and this is just the wine you drink at that party.
Mm.
Yeah.
I agree. Glenjamin, what do you think?
I'd love to see it at Taylor's wedding.
Call back to last week's episode. So congratulations to Taylor's sister and hopefully to Taylor surviving
not Taylor's wedding, sorry. Taylor's sister.
So you're drinking this at Taylor's sister's wedding?
Yes, very formal affair.
Okay, so it's a formal one. Okay, I think I'm drinking this. It's not quite a gift wine, but it's I think it's just like communal wine. You know, when you're at someone's house and you've run out of drinks, or maybe you didn't have drinks, and someone says, "Oh, here's this wine. You have this." I'm like,
"Oh, so you wouldn't specifically have this one? You wouldn't pick this one out?"
Maybe.
This is a wine that you have on hand.
Yes.
For when the wine that everyone's brought.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the party's gone too too long.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
More that's wine. That's bad. I've been to them.
Yeah. So it's not like I didn't choose this wine. It's like I'm going to put this at the back of the fridge for an occasion when I'm going to need it.
Hopefully we don't need it, but if the party does go on that long, it's there.
We'll be ready. Mm.
And so I'm drinking this wine, and I'm probably slightly tired, but I'm really liking the company. And I've probably gone off on like the balcony just to have some alone time, and it's just nice, and the breeze is coming in, and it's just nice and peaceful, and I'm drinking this wine on the balcony.
I'm afraid you've put him to sleep.
Rude, Glenn. Not invited back. So, we have our wine.
We have our wine.
I think there's one thing left to do, gentlemen, and that's to complain.
Oh, dear.
Now, Mr. Schwartz, do you have anything to complain about?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Oh, this is... I've got high hopes for what this is.
I live in Cairns, as everybody, well, not everybody knows, but
now they do.
Yes, everyone knows this. I talk about you exclusively.
I don't think so. Anyway, so I've had to come down to, and I've spent a week at Noosa. On the way down, I drove, by the way.
That's quite a haul.
19 hours.
Yeah.
I stay overnight. And
in places.
Rest up and take, because you have to rest. Or was it rest or rest easy? What's it? I can't remember.
I don't know.
The slogan is.
What is it? It's
rest or rest
often
forever?
Or rest easy? Or
rest often like or rest in peace?
Something like that.
Oh, wow.
So you got it. You must take those breaks. Driving down, you would find some passing lanes.
Yes.
Is anyone picking up what I'm laying down?
They are not
as
frequent
someone
enough.
Who commutes to Bundaberg quite frequently.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So here I am. I'm following. It's 100 kilometres an hour, and I don't speed, kids. But I'm sitting behind a person who's doing 90 kilometres an hour. I can't get around them. We come to the passing lane.
And it's usually like a double-laned area where you can't get around them. Mm. Yeah.
So we come to the passing lane, keep left unless overtaking.
Mm-hmm.
Old mate decides the speed go from 90 to 120.
Why do they speed up?
30 seconds flat.
Every single time they speed up.
Yep. I don't know why. Why? I hate having cars trailing behind me.
Yeah.
I'm like, please, overtake me. Yeah. I'm in a tiny car that can't go faster than this. I'm going to pull over slightly to the side and I'll slow down a little bit so you can get past me, no problem.
But then, kids, they get out of that passing lane and they go right back down to 70 yep. or 90 or whatever the hell it is.
It annoys you. Is it trolls on the road? Like people who are deliberately trying to, you know, raise the ire of the drivers behind them?
Well, Andy, let me tell you a story. One time I was driving from Brisbane to Bundaberg, 4.5 hour trip.
It's a nice drive.
Yeah. If you're not stopping, 4.5 hours, and there is a couple of these double lane highways with these overtaking lanes every so often. And as soon as it went down to two lanes, I'm behind this white car and this red car. And in every...
I can't believe you remember the colours.
I was following these people...
Indelibly.
...for 2 hours.
Imprinted.
And every single overtaking lane...
Wow.
...the red car would pull into the overtaking lane, pull up next to the white car, and then they would just match each other until the lane changed and it would pull back in behind the white car. And it drove me insane. And so, after about 30 minutes of this, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to pull over, get a rest stop. I'm going to go
get a snack,
stretch my legs. And of course, I get back in my car, drive at a normal speed because they're driving slower than regular. I catch up to them in half an hour's time.
You try and gain your sanity and go, okay, I won't see them again. It's okay.
Like I'm a pretty calm driver. Like I'm a bit of a grandma on the road. I'm not a very aggressive driver, but gosh darn, that made me angry.
I'll tell you a story that it's not much of a story, but I haven't told anyone. And I know as I'm going to say it in front of my dad, his eyes are going to widen. The very first,
they already have.
The very first day I got my P's, I decided that me and my friend were going to go on a road trip just an hour south of Cairns. Anyway, so it was great. We're on the highway having a great time and we get to this semi little town before the town that we want to get to. Anyway, so we're behind either a car or a truck, something like that. And
you don't have many choices really on the road.
Rude. and we're on this stretch of road. It's not too far, but it's far enough that I know I can overtake them. Anyway, so I'm in front of them and my friend is next to me, my best friend. And she goes, yeah, like overtake them. Yeah, like, oh, we need to. I was like, yeah, cool, cool, cool. And it's maybe 90 or 100 zone. Anyway, so I go to overtake them.
What a cavalier attitude you have towards driving.
I feel like that was the punchline, but I'm not sure why.
No, because anyway.
Could have been yin and yang.
And I go to overtake them and I don't know, maybe I can't remember the exact circumstances, but maybe this car was already coming in the opposite direction or maybe it just, I didn't see it or something. Anyway, so I go to overtake them, but the car that I'm overtaking isn't kind of, it seems to be speeding up or just going the same speed. Mm-hmm. So I have to speed up to go around them. And this car that's coming in the direct opposite direction is getting faster and faster and I'm still right next to this car I'm overtaking. And I'm in like, what was she? I called her Wanda, my first car, and she was a 1999 Toyota. And this was in 2013, so she was old. Anyway, so I'm trying to speed up and this car's coming at me and I'm beside this other car and I think I get up to like maybe 120 to overtake it. And we kept getting closer and closer and my friend next to me is like, oh. And we were both 17. We're like,
That's not a sound that you want to hear from a passenger. Yeah. You don't want to be like, oh, no, 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 no.
And we were both like, yeah, it's fine. We can overtake them. And then we were like, oh, my God. It was the it was a great first experience.
That's it. You're grounded.
I'm 22. Please.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I think that's justified.
How did it
I'll allow it.
End?
Did you? Oh, end it up, ended fine.
No. I mean, did you end up overtaking them, or
yes.
or did you slip back in?
Oh no,
them?
I ended up overtaking them, but it was
committed
like
committed and.
Yeah, I was like
at a closing speed of 260 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, but once we got in it, we were like, oh, okay. Yep, we're not doing that again.
No more overtaking.
Yeah, we'll pull over and let them pass us.
Oh yeah. It was good. It was really good.
Oh,
actually,
my.
The day I got my open license was the day I got my first speeding ticket.
Oh no!
It happened in a part of Gladstone that was next to the power station. It had been until that time, until 2 weeks before or a month before or so, it had always been an 80 zone.
Oh yeah.
And maybe 200 meters before the road goes to 100 zone, the police guy was there with the radar. It had been changed down to a 60 zone. I was doing 76. And he got me
in. Dastardly bastards.
I got to Rockhampton where I was going, paid the ticket straight away, and the lady looked at me very strangely. You realise you've got 28 days to pay this? Yeah, but I've got to pay it anyway. I'm here.
I'm just feeling guilty. Just,
yeah.
I need this off my record. If I pay it within the hour, is there
a sponge?
Like, I'm happy to pay double. I'll pay double. Yeah.
That'll
now,
be $23, thank you, sir.
Now, does anyone else have a gripe to
I've got a bit of a petty one.
Yeah, I love it already.
Look.
It's grammatically based.
Oh, okay. I can't help you.
Oh, I love these.
If you start picking on the Oxford comma, I will come
no,
for
no,
you,
no, 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 no. All right.
I use the comma too much and I'm not really sure how to.
This point I don't want to ask.
It's too late.
This is very much concerning the prefix pre and how it's applied and misapplied.
Okay.
It has legitimate uses, right?
I agree.
Like,
well done.
Like how cars and secondhand things.
Pre-owned.
They used to be called pre-loved. Secondhand. Now they're called pre-owned, pre-loved. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's a legitimate use of it because you get all the information you need. Used to be owned. It's no longer owned. It's up for sale, but it's not brand new.
Mm.
But the times when people put pre in front of already past tense words,
like what?
Like people say, "Oh, this was pre-cooked." Well, yeah, of course it was pre-cooked. You're not going to post-cook anything.
Yeah, right.
It's not cooked in the future. Yes, it is cooked.
So
it's
you should
already,
say.
It's already
never heard anyone use it in that context.
No,
it will be re-cooked.
Now you reheat it.
Yeah. Not even reheat. No, they just say this was or like prepared, right?
Oh, okay.
And people would, I've heard people say pre-prepared.
Oh, no.
This is a pre-prepared thing I've done.
I've actually heard that as well,
I've pre-prepared this pre-cooked meal.
Yeah.
I actually pre-prepared it. I prepared it before I pre-prepared it for you now, so I've pre-prepared it.
This is something I pre-prepared earlier. Yeah.
I don't know why, but it just sends me mad every time I hear it. Is it not as common
I don't think I've heard it as much as you have, okay. But I probably will now.
Maybe I've just noticed it a lot more.
I think there's definitely a trend in adding unnecessary prefixes to words just because it makes you sound intelligent. I'll come back to the example of what is it? Not irrelevant.
Irregardless?
Irregardless. It's like
or the initial first one.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
It's just
very redundant grammar that these people are using, redundant words.
I think people try, and you hear it a lot of times with reporters. When they will use extra words that mean exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
To make that word count.
That's what sends me ballistic. When people who should know better, when people whose job it depends on, conveying information in a very deliberate way, very specific way, and they screw it up, or they play with it to pad the runtime.
Yeah,
it's like deja vu all over again.
Can,
I like that one.
Well, in that case, it's totally fine. Can I ask your opinion on using nouns as verbs?
How so?
Like to Google
every
something?
Now and then, I like to velociraptor around the house.
What? What is velociraptor?
Pretending to be a velociraptor?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. Recontextualizes the word entirely.
Yeah, I don't think that's absurd at all. That's how languages evolve.
But I also think you can use that in like, you know, oh, today I was just a zane.
You know I mean? Just zaned everywhere today.
You know what I mean?
Wherever I was.
And people know what you mean. You're like, oh, you were acting like Zane.
I don't Look, know if, what you mean when you
if
say
Shakespeare,
that.
If Shakespeare didn't take some license and just go crazy with the English language and invent new words.
Make up words.
Invent new turns of phrase. We wouldn't have a quarter of the language we have today.
Now, I know that this is a safe space where we agree with each other, but I feel the need to call you out that I feel that you're arguing against your own point here.
How so?
People adding free just because, like, it's going to sound better.
I'm specifically against when it makes a phrase
so
or a term redundant. Right. Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly I can get right. behind that. Tautologies are one of my least favourite things as well, my pet peeves.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know why it does that to me.
I'm the same. I didn't pass senior English at all, but it's I know my grammar and I can spell. Yeah. So
that's two things we don't have in common.
Maybe it's just because people who are using it, you know, they're being a little bit lazy in it. Either they haven't thought about it, or they're pretending to be smarter than they are.
And
that's what I find so detestable.
Or clever people using the word use.
Ugh.
See use later.
Yeah. Oh no. Ugh.
What would
no,
you say? You. What
Terrible.
Would you say?
See y'all. You later.
Yeah, I love the word y'all.
Yeah.
Y apostrophe A-L to mean you all. Not only is it genderless, you can be talking to literally anyone, one person, a whole group of people. It's so versatile. Or you can just say, you all. I'll see you all later.
Yeah.
Or see you later.
Yeah. See you,
you
later.
You can do that too, yeah.
There's no such word. Well, there is your word use.
Use.
But,
oh.
But it's nothing to do with people.
Apostrophe S-E. What is it contracting? Is it I'm going to see you. Are you trying to pluralize it? Why does it have the apostrophe then?
Yeah.
It's
I see
weird.
What you mean.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
I don't like it, Gina.
Well, then
you
get use
it?
All.
Use
people
all.
People who say use Ooh. All. No, that is ear poison. I will completely agree with you
poison.
On that.
Thank you. Oh, I've had one win tonight.
Coming for you, Cockneys.
Now, I'm going to take us on a different tangent.
Oof.
And if it's bad, we can just end the episode straight away.
All right. I'll have my finger over the cut button.
Just cut it off. All right. So have we heard of a little documentary called Leaving Neverland?
Yes.
Have you,
I have.
Andy?
No, please.
Is that the Michael Jackson one?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
I've never heard of it.
Good one. So, Andy, it's called Leaving Neverland, and it's about these two kids, Wade and – do you know the other one?
I cannot tell you their names. I haven't watched it. I've only read a couple kind of reports on it and what it actually outlines and et cetera.
Et cetera. I can't actually remember the other guy's name, which is atrocious, but let's call –
I think only one of them has released their name. The other one has not.
Can we call him Russell?
Yeah, let's call him
Wade
and Russell. Russell and Wade. So Wade and
what was the chimp's name?
It wasn't Bubbles.
Bubbles. Yeah, it wasn't Sparkles. It
wasn't. That was his dog. He was three last year. Had a big party.
So Russell and Wade are these two boys that came into Michael's life at one time of another. Wade is actually from Brisbane, Australia.
Okay.
So he was a massive fan of Michael Jackson when he was a kid, and he was also a dancer when he was very little, and somehow he got into a competition, met Michael. Whereas Russell was just a kid actor model who didn't really know Michael at all, and happened to be on a commercial with him and became friends with him that way. Anyway, Leaving Neverland is a documentary about these two men now and about their journey with Michael and their sexual abuse with Michael and how it all happened and their family's involvement, et cetera, and so forth. And I've watched, because it's actually in two parts, part one and part two, and I've watched all of part one and half of part two. And just watching it, and from what I know from watching other documentaries about pedophiles, it's very hard for me to even just imagine that people don't believe that this is real.
Right.
I just think people come out and say, oh, these men are just looking for money. They're looking for fame. Why would they come out now that he's dead, now that he's this? You know, they defended him in the past. Why are they coming out now? But when you look at the facts, they were kids when they first defended Michael. Mm-hmm. They were still below the age of 20 and they were still under his spell. And what Michael said to the both of them was, you know, if anyone found out about this, I would be in jail and you would be in jail as well.
Okay.
And it never started off as straight away sexual abuse. It was the grooming, not only of them, but of their families.
Mm.
So he would groom their mum and dad. He would call their parents every night and speak to them for hours. So that's how the families began to trust Michael.
Right.
So of course,
he would get the families along with the children and stay in the same hotel. And then over a period of time, he would move the family further and further away from the child.
Okay.
Yeah,
and be like, hotel. Oh, sorry, we couldn't get you on the same floor because, you know, hotels and stuff. And after a while, of course, the families would go, oh, that makes sense. You know, hotels just work that way. But from what I know, there's also a great documentary on Netflix called Abducted in Plain Sight, which is about a pedophile who befriended a family. He also had a family at church. They met each family met each other at church, and this pedophile befriended this family just to get to this girl. And it wasn't straight away. It literally took him years to befriend everyone and to gain their trust before he started doing anything.
Okay.
And this is kind of the way Michael acted, but it was condensed because obviously he didn't have years. He's a celebrity, so he needs to fast track that. But also he has the wealth to bring them in as well. And also I just can't believe that with all this evidence, why would anyone lie?
Can I proffer an opinion?
Yes.
I'm not denying that any of this has happened and I'm whatever. And I think that it is an issue only because so many people are so invested in Michael Jackson and the effect that they had on them growing up. And so they're struggling to separate the artist and the work. You can have had a really positive experience with this one aspect of this celebrity and have this celebrity be a monster behind the scenes and not have that taint your experience with his work.
Jim Carrey is absolutely insane.
Oh, absolutely.
When you listen to him talk personally, but that doesn't, you know, sully his career and his movies. I still enjoy his movies quite a bit.
Similarly, there was a bloke, I'm just trying to think of his name. He was an English guy, Jimmy somebody, and he was terrible. He was just one of the worst predators that's ever been.
Oh,
Jimmy. I cannot think of his name.
No.
Anyway, but this Jimmy guy.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, he was an actor, entertainer, and then he was also a manager, and he had a lot of people working for him and around him, but he was just bad.
Right.
And it wasn't only until it came out later that people became aware, and everyone was just like the Me Too now. The Me Too then, it was like, oh,
yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, when they've got these people around them, it's just all of these people choosing either not to believe what they kind of should or just choosing not to ask questions.
Yeah.
Or choosing to go along with the flow because absolutely. It's easier.
Yeah.
And he's looking after me.
So yeah, absolutely. I think it comes down to the idolatry, like worshipping these people. If Michael Jackson wasn't worshipped as the king of pop, it wouldn't be a huge issue when he's accused of this. He would just be investigated, and then if it's found yes or no, then that would be the end of it.
You would hope so, yeah.
Because people are so invested in this idea of this person being better than everyone else, and he's just a child with arrested development, and he just wants to live in this wonderful Neverland, where he never grows up, and have a chimp named Bubbles.
And a dog named Sparkles.
I think my annoyance is the fact that people not believing survivors and also not seeing the facts because they don't want to.
Yeah, it's clouded.
Yes, I hate that. I think it's especially now, like, we don't have an excuse. Just of course they wouldn't come out. They were kids. Why are they coming out now? Because they want to set it straight because they're adults.
Also, the threat's gone.
And the threat is gone. Michael is not here. There's no one going to be barreling down their door and, like, you know, ruining their lives.
Hiring lawyers to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And even now, those men are so brave to come out because the amount of backlash that people are still going to throw at them.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think it's really dumb that people don't believe it because they don't want to.
And when it comes down to it, not to make light of it, but celebrities are people.
And people.
What do we know about people?
Glenn, do you know?
Most of them are assholes.
You're so close.
Trashy, close. Trashy assholes.
Trashy assholes.
People
yes,
are trash,
indeed.
Including celebrities.
Was I allowed to say that?
Yes, absolutely.
You were so close. But assholes works as well. Yeah. Not to bring the mood down, but I was just...
Well,
absolutely. And it is something that annoys, well, at least most of the people that I've communicated with about this is the default to question the motives of the victim.
Mm.
Whereas, like, if this is true, their motives are very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right, but you first have to establish whether or not it is true. And in doing that, part of it is to question their motives as well.
Yeah, but of course people are doing it without watching the documentary, without learning what they're saying.
No, that's true, but documentaries are narratives as well.
And
they're
this one is particularly biased.
Yeah. For sure, but also they can't question him, so.
Yes, there are a lot of people that have questions, and it will go on in court for a while because it is being challenged.
Mm.
But that is for another podcast, People Are Trash.
For another day.
Including Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a people.
He was a people. No matter how much everyone wants to deny it and think, say he was an alien, he was a people.
He was a people.
And people are trash.
They are.
Especially Gina. When you're hanging a kid over balconies.
Oh.
But that was justified, hey? Hey?
So.
And also, what was his quote?
Yeah,
having
plenty.
Somebody in your bed is... the kindest thing you can do. What did he say?
I do not know this quote.
Oh.
I'm going to come out of the Michael Jackson closet right now. I'm not a huge fan of Michael Jackson.
Oh, me neither.
I don't really know much about him.
How could you?
I thought that's how we became friends. No, he said something like, because when people were saying, oh.
That he would have children in his bed.
He's like, oh, the kindest thing is to share your bed with someone. I'm like, yes, someone, not a 9-year-old boy. Anyway, none of that.
None of that.
People
we
are trash.
A glass of wine.
Check
people
us out on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, where just look us up as Glass of Wine. We should be... that or close to that on all of those. We do.
You can always find us online, our home on the web at thatsnotcanon.com/glassofwine.
And of course, while you're there, look at all the other lovely podcasts that are up there.
It's true. More every week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not every week, but most weeks.
Most weeks. Most weeks. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Zane.
Thank you, Gina.
And thank you, Glenn, was it?
Correct, yes.
Is it awkward calling your dad by his first name?
No, I actually call him Glenjamin a lot. I
really?
That's
a cute pet name.
Okay.
It's has like, done for a while.
Yeah, it's like Benjamin, but Glenjamin.
Yeah, it's very, very witty.
Thank you. I thought of it years ago and I'm like, this is going to stick. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
And thank you, most importantly, to me. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Gina.
And thank you, Glass of Wine, Wine Gallery. Of course, go on to www.wine. Thank you.
There you go.
How do you listen?
Winegallery.com.au.
The Wine Gallery.
The Wine Gallery.com.
I made this mistake recently, updating my latest shipment. It is thewinegallery.com.
Okay, good. So,
Wine Gallery.
New listeners, remember thewinegallery.com.au. Go on there, do the palate quiz, sign up, get 4 bottles, send it to you for free because you got those 4 bottles, and put a glass of wine in at the checkout. Get that $25 off that we all need because it's 2019 and the economy is bad.
Bad.
Thank yous all.
We have been Glass of Wine. Check in next week when we will be here drinking more alcohol.
Bye.
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 Hi there, my name's Jessica Kate.
And I'm Ellen Rose.
And we're the hosts of Murder in the Land of Oz,
a new Australian true crime podcast.
Yes. We're starting off in Brisbane, our hometown, because relatable.
Relatable.
We're going to be coming to you every second Monday.
So give us a listen, give us a like.
And a subscribe. Come and join us on our journey where we explore the depths of true crime Australia. Oh yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.